Our singing to get man is a carnal being. And I'm here to tell you that's what he's working on.
Amen.
To bring about the glory of God manifest in you.
Yes.
Amen. That's right.
And I was asked two or three times this morning about how to start a training center.
Amen.
Yeah, that was right up your alley.
And as I was coming up to walk, the Spirit spoke to me. I turned around and I wanted to see Brother Robert and the ones that was inquiring. But they wasn't. I said, well, I'll just speak this morning.
Amen.
I don't mean I'm going to teach on it. I don't think. But this thing starts a long time before we even realize it starts.
Amen.
Amen.
God started the first one by speaking to a little lad by the name of Samuel. And if you look back in your life, God's been dealing with you all your life.
Yes, he has.
Somebody says, but I don't know it. That's the point. Brother Saul was killing Christians,
yeah,
thinking he is doing the will of God. But then when the Lord knocked him down on the road to Damascus, and this is the first time that Jesus ever used the name Jesus after the resurrection.
Right.
Amen.
So you know it's very important. Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. First time, only time, he ever used the name Jesus after the resurrection. Praise God. And the glory of God was so pronounced upon him that it blinded him naturally. Are you following me? And then he said, arise and go to the street which is called Straight. And then in the meantime, God's talking to another man in Damascus by the name of Ananias, which was a... You get in trouble sometimes with terminology. This is what ousted me with the Lateran group. But God was speaking to a brother by the name of Ananias, and he was a local prophet. Oh, prophet's a prophet. Now, that's what they said in Lateran. But I found different in this book. Jeremiah was anointed a prophet to the nations. Ananias was a local prophet. He never did travel about 150-mile radius. I don't know this exactly, but now that fits in with what the vision God gave me for world evangelization.
Amen.
That God's establishing hub churches
right
all over the world,
right,
and they will be within 50 or 100 mile radius, and sometimes they could be two in one city area. Or three, depending on how many people are there, the population.
Right.
But if you got the idea that you're going to be the only punking on the vine,
right,
you had better get another revelation.
Amen.
And that's the way the churches is operating in this hour. They don't want nobody else to be infringed on their territory, and it's not theirs anyway. And it's so silly. They could be in a city of 200,000 and say, God, give me this city. And a church won't seat 500.
Right.
Now somebody's lied.
It ain't God.
And God is the Father of glory. It's impossible for him to lie. Oh, hallelujah. Then the question arises, how did the first one begin? It began with the dealings of the Lord with a child.
That's right, Samuel.
And where did he build the first one? In Ramoth. That name means high. Well, what good of... I can't teach all of it on this, but don't you... You know, it would take a long time to break all these things down. But when David, and that's another aspect of this training center, when he had already defeated the bear, the lion, and Goliath, and Saul had moved him into the court, he got so jealous of David, he threw a dagger at him. And then David, you know, had to flee. This is one of the beautifulest teachings that's in the Bible.
Amen.
The seven stopping places of David, which is, I call him the kingdom stopping places, training David to become king. He's already been anointed one time, but he has to be anointed again the second time. That takes you and I in this second anointing. Praise God. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
How many of you know that the old tabernacle's gone, now there has to be a new one?
Amen. Amen.
The first one was just a type.
Right. A figure.
Oh, hallelujah. A figure of what is to come, for the Holy Ghost signifying. Oh, hallelujah. Are giving a testimony that while the first tabernacle stood, there would be no room for the next.
Right. Right.
But now, the second time, the second veil, God is fixed in right now to pour out his glory any moment.
Amen.
But when David was fleeing from Saul, he went to Ramah, talked with Samuel. And when word got to Saul that David is in Ramoth, now, he went to school. That's where the school of the prophets was. That's where Samuel lived. That's the training center.
Right.
Praise God. There's going to be many ministers that's having to run from the devil, that's been defeated, lied on, done a lot of things that you've done, and you just forgot you've done them. Oh, glory to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
We're hearing.
But you have to have room for those that's on the run.
Yes. Amen.
And Saul sent an army to get David. But there was such an anointing at this training center that the whole company that he sent, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And they began to prophesy.
That's right.
And joined the training center.
Amen.
Amen. And another army he sent. Same thing. Now we've got two armies joined this training center, plus what was already there. How many of you are following what I'm saying? Saul said, well, if you want something done, you have to do it yourself. We want it done right. So the king himself come after David. And when he got to that cross line, see, God's got you surrounded. He won't let the devil come just so far. And when he crossed that border, Holy Spirit fell on him. He pulled his royal garb off, laid in the gully, and prophesied all night. Then the saying went forth, is Saul a prophet? That's the effect of these training centers. There's going to be a border drawn around it, and any time you cross that line, something is going to happen. Praise God. There's going to be people driving by this road here.
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden to be compelled to turn in.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And I've already had it to happen. They said, I don't know why I'm here, but I just felt like turning in. And so, when do you have service? Didn't we tell them we have service, what time? Then they come and they hear this fanatic message. That ain't what I want. That's all right. I'm not going to call them up.
No. No,
we're not. I got to see them there.
And if you don't be the doctor and the nurse and hold hands with people, they ain't going to have nothing to do with you. We have the wrong concept of pastor.
That's right. Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
Pastors are so big on the executive offices, they have no time to seek the presence of God. Well, glory.
Amen.
I'll tell you something else that you've got to understand. All priests are not preachers or ministers.
Right.
Amen.
Some of them has a job in the temple or in the outer court. Some have a ministry of the holy place. And only one has a ministry in the holiest of holies.
Amen.
Pointing to the one to come. Now our elders that just supposed to hold the hand of the pastor up that don't do nothing else.
Amen.
Send them, Lord.
Nah.
Amen.
But now all elders has got to be apt to teach.
Right.
Amen.
You might have had a prophecy that you were an apostle, but he didn't tell you what range it was in.
Right.
God's got nobody to make apostles out of but baby boys and girls.
Yep. Amen. That's right. Amen.
You could have a prophecy about being an apostle, and you could get so anxious to become that that you would deform yourself in trying to do what you think you're supposed to do. Now, oh, hallelujah. I didn't have no idea of teaching on anything like this. But how many of you understand what I'm saying? There's just one apostle.
That's
There's just one prophet.
Amen.
One evangelist.
Amen.
One pastor. And one teacher. Well, glory. And if the Lord sets you in an office, honey, don't get the idea that you live in that office. You're just in that office at certain times. But the ministry today has taken on the devil's job of trying to wear out the saints. God has not called you to try to be something in yourself. You could do nothing without him, he said. Now when you get those magnifying glasses off that you've been looking at yourself in the mirror, God can use you. But outside of that, you're nothing. Praise God. Well, that ain't in the Bible. Oh, you think not?
Yes, sir.
When the people said to Samuel, I want a king, what jumped out of him? He tells you.
Yes, sir.
He said, I have been young, now I'm gray-headed. And I've served you without failing.
Yes.
Now you're rejecting me.
Oh God.
Bringing in another king. And he told him what the king would do.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
And yet, they wanted to be like other nations.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like them.
Want to be like other nations.
No nations.
Hallelujah. Break down the word denomination.
Right.
Pull out your dollar bill and what? That is a $1 bill denomination. And that's all that'll ever be.
Amen.
Well, you can come up to $100 bill,
but that's as far as
and that's as far as it'll ever go. Move into that unlimited spirit.
Thank you.
Amen.
Unmeasurable spirit.
Then
you break all denominations.
Amen.
Samuel told him what he'd do. He said, if you make him a king, he's going to take the best of everything.
Amen. He'll take your tithe.
Yeah, he's not going to take your tithe, your offering. He's going to take your cattle, going to take your children, going to make servants out of them.
Amen.
I've heard pastors, they told me, he said, they don't ever do nothing for me. And what they were, you see, there is some folks that got a false theology.
Amen.
Outlook of what ministry is.
Come on.
Ministry is not for you to serve the pastor.
No.
Amen.
The pastor is to serve you.
But he that is the greatest among you become the servants of all. Well, hi, Lord, I've been getting into a lot of little details here if I follow this. But you see, God, in his sovereign grace, and that grace is the Zoe life of God, bringing up a generation now that's going to have a divine word and a divine revelation, and we are going to lose sight of salaries, money, and just trust God for whatever you need. If you need a car, you trust God for it, and you're not going to be so big and you have to have a Mercedes, a Rolls Royce.
Amen.
Now, there's ministries today that's preaching if you don't have a Rolex, if you don't have
a Rolls Royce,
or all and gold and everywhere, it's gold, then you not walking in the promises of God. That's a bunch of junk.
Amen.
God wants you to be blessed.
Amen.
He desires you to be blessed.
Yes, he does.
And he
Amen.
Has pleasure in the prosperity of his children.
Amen.
But if that mammon becomes your God, you are lost.
Amen.
And some folk allow money to rule their whole entire life.
That's right.
Well,
yeah, that's right.
I know. I could prophesy all of you are going to be millionaires.
If you were a millionaire today, you couldn't live in West Hollywood, in Hollywood, or Beverly Hills.
Oh, no, you'd have to have a multi-million. I tell you, and so many people now, they've turned to the lottery instead of God.
Amen.
And they're expecting to win the lottery. I'm expecting to win God. Somebody asked me not long ago, well, if you was to have $1 million, what would you do? Oh, I said, first of all, I'd pay everything the church off, and I'd build this rooms over here.
Amen.
Then what was left, I'd go to dividing it among the ministry.
Praise the Lord.
What I need much money for? Huh?
That's right. It's all relative.
What do you need a bunch of money for? You better thank God it's as well as it is with you.
Amen.
Because it could get worse.
Yes.
Amen.
That was me.
But come on, saints.
Amen.
God looks at your record. And that's determining what he opens the windows of heaven
that's
for.
That's right. That's exactly it.
That's right.
That's exactly what, that determines what he's going to pour out on you.
He knows exactly how much you've got stored up.
One brother said, well, I don't know what I'm gaining anything but giving more. But I said, what you don't understand, Cornelius built a house of God for the Jews and give, and God build a memorial for him.
Yes, he did.
And you'd rather have a bank account or a memorial before God for you?
Amen.
Amen.
Which one do you rather have?
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. How glory. Now, Samuel started these training centers, or school of the prophets. He was carried over to Elijah.
Yeah.
And Elisha.
Yeah.
And how does the Old Testament end? I'm going to raise up in that last day Elijah. When you read that he's going to raise up Elijah, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. There's no room for father ministry today.
That's exactly it. That's right.
Well, I've heard preachers be in the congregation. I've heard preachers, young preachers preach and say, this is our day. McCurry's day is over.
That was foolish to mention your name.
I was definitely so, but I was the oldest one there. And if they could walk in half of the experiences that I've been through, they'd be a different individual.
Right.
And I'm not putting no premiums on me. I had to go through it because no other way to do it but that.
Amen.
If I'd have had a choice, I wouldn't have went through it.
Amen.
Glory to God. Stand on the road hitchhiking and these pastors in their new cars pass by you and point at you and laugh and make fun of you. But I had a promise in the book.
Amen.
My day is coming.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
My day is coming.
Amen.
Your day is coming.
Hallelujah.
And that's what I'm trying to get you prepared for right now. It's not in a title.
That's right.
No.
It's not in any title that folks hang on you. Hallelujah. I never tell nobody. Even if they ask me. That, are you an apostle? I don't even answer them.
Amen.
I'm only one if you accept me as that.
Amen.
You only accept me as that? I'm not.
Come on.
And you miss the blessing that goes with it.
That's the truth.
And that's Bible.
Hallelujah.
That's the Word of God. And so when we come down to what God is doing in this hour, He's raising up training centers to train individuals in biblical principles and in the spiritual operation.
Amen.
And you might start cleaning out toilets.
Right.
Just because you're a baby apostle don't mean that you're ready to hit the road.
Amen.
But there is a longing in everybody's heart to hit the road.
That's right.
To come to the final restoration, yeah. Manifestation.
Hallelujah.
Of what God has said you are.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
And whenever we begin to come what God says we are, hallelujah, we're going to realize walking in the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
There's a whole lot of pressure that comes with this.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can write up and study up and get a real good sermon. You think? This will stir people.
Mm-hmm.
And get in the pulpit. And everything goes blank.
That's wrong.
You can't even read your own notes.
Yes.
How many of you have ever done that?
Amen.
Come on, raise your hand that I can see them. Every last one of us have done that.
Amen.
And that's the best lesson you can ever learn. How many of you laid hands on folks and knew didn't see nothing? They're still crippled. They're still blind. They're still deaf. They're still dying. And then how many of you said, well, if you'd had faith. That's a bunch of junk. It's silly.
Yes, it is.
When the book said God's dealt to every man the measure of faith. But you don't even confess that. You change it. God's dealt to every man a measure of faith. And then you've got it, my God. You've got faith divided out in 1,000 different directions. And people don't know which way to go. They're so confused.
There's only one faith.
There's just one faith. There's just one Lord,
yes.
One baptism,
yes.
My Father, hallelujah. And when we get into the unity with the Word of God and the power of God, we're going to see something happen. And that unity has to be taught to you.
Yeah.
Well, I'll show you how the church operates, and they don't operate in divine order, divine principle. If one of them to go to the hospital, and I be in the set man of this assembly, I tell one of the elders, I want you to go visit so and so. And the first thing they'll say when the elder goes in there, where's Brother McCurry?
That's right.
That elder has the same
authority,
same vision that I have.
Amen.
And when they say, well, I'm here in his place, I am representing him. But they won't accept that.
Amen.
And if I don't go, they'll get mad and quit the church.
Come on, buddy. You didn't care.
Amen.
They'll get mad and quit the church.
That's right. That's what they do.
Then the preacher's on the pastor to go and visit them and whimper and whine around them and said, well, I'm sorry that I didn't get to see you. I'd give you an experience.
Amen.
I was out of town, and one of the dear saints in the church, her daughter, went to the hospital, and I didn't. I was out of town. I couldn't visit her. Didn't even know she was in the hospital. I went to visit her. When I got back, this mother of this daughter, she said, I'm leaving the church. I said, well, that's up to you. But I said, why are you leaving? You didn't come visit my daughter when she was in the hospital. I said, I didn't even know your daughter's in the hospital. I was out of town. And she just kept right on. And she pushed the button. Of retaliation. And she said, I'm going to leave. I said, that's great. What church you want me to call and recommend you to? I'd be glad to recommend you to them. Be glad for you to leave the church.
Amen. Lay hands on them.
Hallelujah. Boy, that let the air out of her. I'd been buying groceries for that woman. I'd been seeing that she didn't like nothing.
Come on, brother. What do you do?
And then for the little something like that, you want to rise up and go, just good.
Amen.
Amen.
I started, but that ain't the end of the story.
No.
I started out of the church and of the house and got on the front porch and one step down on the step, God said, ain't you a pretty looking thing? Ain't you a pretty looking thing? Telling that woman you'll call another church, recommend her. But I told her the truth, Lord. Yeah, but you didn't have the right attitude. You was reacting.
Wonderful.
Hello. God said, you go in there and apologize. I said, I'll apologize, but I ain't admitting I'm wrong because I'm right.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. How many of you pastors and ministers have ever done that?
Yes.
Huh? Come on. How many of you has ever done that?
It feels good at the time.
Oh, glory.
That's right.
You know what she said? Well, you couldn't run me off from this church with a ball bat.
Amen.
I was just talking. I said, well, I was too, but I'm telling you the truth.
put that in.
The very idea. Hallelujah. But, oh, I could tell you a lot. That same woman. You see, a lot of times people think you do things foolish, but you're not acting. I was having a house built, and I signed a contract with the contractor that I would pay him, $15,000 to $20,000 when he got it.
Foundation.
Not the foundation, but the framing up.
Framework.
I didn't have a penny of money, and I had no idea they could frame a house up so quick. And I come down to the, well, on a Friday, he told me, he said, I got to have my money. I said, well, I'll come give it to you Monday. God, I had to give God 3 more days. How many of you have put everything off because you just needed more time for God to do something for you because you were not operating? Oh, hallelujah. Now, this is where we need training centers. This is where we need experience to be handed down to us.
Amen.
And teach people how to stand on the invisible.
Amen.
I had, God bless me that weekend, and I had all the money I was supposed to pay, but about $2,500. And the Sunday after service, this woman that I got on to told her I'd recommend another church. So. And I'd been buying her groceries. I didn't think, good God, she ain't got no money. She said, Pastor, come over to my house this afternoon. I want to talk with you. After dinner, everything, I went over that to that woman's house. She said, Pastor, the Lord has spoke to me that you need $2,500. Here is the check. I want you to know. If you learn to stand, you learn to stand and quit worrying about mammon. Somebody told me, they said, boy, this has been a miracle. God just flying in the knee. I said, yeah, he is. And then I got to take it. How much money have I put in this meal? I got to. You don't even realize, see, until you go stop to go to thinking term. I already put in over about $1,700 in the meeting myself. Where did it come from? I don't know. I got enough for the offering today and tonight. Ooh, hallelujah. Now, don't get so quiet.
They're thinking.
Is that the reason they get quiet? They go to thinking?
Thinking.
But most of the time, they're thinking in the wrong direction.
Amen. Right. They say, I want to experience this.
I'll tell you, saints, when we, and this is the pattern. I believe this is the pattern.
Amen.
For this in time message to go around the world, and it's going to, well, it has to start with the ministry.
Yes. Amen. Right, and work out.
And if that ministry cannot work out unless this goes to working within them.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Praise God. You see, in these meetings, what we do is when a minister ministers, immediately I give them a check after they preach. Brother Lopez says, I have never been in a meeting like this.
Praise the Lord.
Most of the time, they wait till the meeting's over and then just distribute to you a meek affair. Hello.
Amen.
And so, Brother Greg knows what I'm talking about. Recently there was a fella invited Bridget down to his church, and Greg said, you know him? I said, yes, sir. How much you want me to tell you I know him? Stole my money.
Right. Thieves.
Because what we had agreed to was first offering goes to the church. Then after I preach, and if I take up any money, it's mine. But I made a mistake. I'd count the offering that I took up because it come and lay in my hand. Then I'd turn it over to the pastor, which I should never have done.
Right.
The pastor come out, I'd raised over about $800 or some dollars. Supposed to be my money. Pastor come out on a Monday, handed me a check for $200. I said, don't you think you owe me more money than this? I counted it. I took up over $800. Well, brother, the first offering wasn't much. I said, I don't care what it was. That wasn't our agreement. So I tell everybody, I don't care how you work, I'll work with you. I just ask you to be honest with me. Be honest with me. And the glory of God. You read in the book of Ezekiel and find out how that Ezekiel set a wheel in the middle of a wheel and turning. When that hub gets in divine order, it will raise up spokes that will make a wheel.
Yes.
And when that wheel turns and operates in the hub of divine order, it's going to turn the whole wheel.
Yes.
Amen.
And now God wants another one of this set up to where that wheel will turn the other wheel.
Amen.
And another one set up. It'd be just like a clock working. And as the mechanism works round and round, the hands of the clock move. Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
And right now, glory to God, we are right on the verge of the 11th hour.
Amen.
And we don't have much time to work in now. We've got to hasten to take, glory to God, to establish a worldwide system in divine order. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not after the order of somebody else's church.
Amen.
Not following some denominational plan, but a spiritual plan.
Amen.
Glory to God, that's going to change the order.
Amen.
And if you read in your Bible, glory,
Amen.
There was the face of a lion,
right.
Face of a man,
right.
Face of an eagle,
yes. Face of an ox.
And a face of an ox. Read to the 10th chapter, and you find that one of them had been changed.
Yes, that's right.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
And one of them had been changed into a seraphim.
Yes.
Angel, messenger.
Yes.
Glory to God. This plan that God has given me is going to change ministry.
Yes.
Just like God changed Ezekiel's ministry.
Yes.
Studied for years to be a priest. And at the age of 30, when he was supposed to go into operation as a priest, God said, I'm changing your ministry.
Amen.
You're a prophet.
Amen.
Amen.
I can hear Ezekiel said, I don't know what a prophet's supposed to do.
Amen.
I've studied for a priest.
That's right.
God now, through these training centers, are going to give you the divine principle of what your ministry is going to do.
Hallelujah.
And how to act and operate.
Yes.
And it may change what you think.
Yes.
That you're supposed to be.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You might be one that's destined to be the cleaner of the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be the cleanest bathroom you've been in.
But I want to tell you something. I was with Brother Jack Cole when he set up that school in Dallas, Texas. And a preacher friend of mine. Oh, God. Come to him, and I was in the office with him, and he said, Brother Cole, God's called me to be a prophet, and I want to join your school to develop that ministry. He said, okay. Big guy, Jack Cole was.
Yeah.
He raised an old big hand. He said, Brother, oh, God, I'm about to call his name, but he wouldn't mind, because he's done gone to glory anyway. But he said, Brother John, I'm so glad to have you here study as a prophet. I signed you for assignment to keep that men's bathroom shining. John's countenance fell. Brother Cole, I didn't come here to clean bathrooms. Well, if you can't do that, you ain't going to be no prophet no way.
Amen.
Just go on home. I don't know how come it's got in our life and our mannerism that we've got to be the head. If we can't be in charge, bless God, we ain't going to have nothing. I'll take my ball and bat and go home.
That's right.
And ain't none of you can play ball and bat without mine.
That's right.
I do like we did when I was a boy. We get a broomstick.
Come on.
And a broomstick. And fill up a tobacco sack with sand and play ball with that. We didn't buy no ball. Ooh, hallelujah. God is changing the order. If you're not willing to change the order, you might as well scratch it off, because you're not going to fit into what God's doing right now. And all of this starts with your willingness to do what he says. And if you cannot do that, you cannot let him open your spiritual eyes to see, your spiritual ears to hear, you might as well quit.
Amen.
Till you get willing.
Well,
I can't get willing to. Okay. He'll fix it so you can get willing.
Amen. That's right. Back to the pain.
He can tighten the screws on you.
Amen.
Glory to God. And where you are really making it now and really enjoying life, first thing you know, everything falls out. Bottom falls out of everything. How many of you has come up through the pressures
Amen.
Of life and ah, oh God, I remember when Aunt Tim wasn't born yet, but Dale and Aunt Dina, we were traveling and run out of gas in the town. No money. No gas, on the way to a revival, not knowing whether we get any money or not, but I go through every open door, I don't care, money or no money, that don't mean nothing to me. I said to my wife then, you stay here in the car, and told the children, you pray, and the wives pray, and I'm going to walk down the street. God's got some servants here somewhere. I walked down to the end of the street, turned around on the way back, and a fella got out of a pickup truck. Preacher! I didn't know him. He didn't know me. What are you doing here? I said, well, I run out of gas and just had to stop here.
Amen.
He said, you didn't have no money? I said, no, don't have no money. He run his hand in his pocket, give me $200 bills. I walked down to the service station, got a 5-gallon can of gas, brought it back, put it in my car, took the gas can down there, finished filling up the car, and on the way to the revival.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Put money in my pocket.
My
kids now, Dale, he liked these Crystal hamburgers, and he said, Daddy, I want 12 of them. and I would get him 12 if the money was there, but if it wasn't there, I'd say, son, can't go quite that high now, but... I want to tell you something. And when I turned off on 27 Highway in Charlotte, North Carolina, going to Albemarle, that's where the meeting was going to be, I had a vision of the church and who all was going to be there, where they were sitting and everything. And God said, when I say now, I want you to call these people out, lay hands on them, and I'll baptize them in the Holy Ghost. I got there and told the pastor what I had seen. He said, that's foolish. Some of these people have been seeking the Holy Ghost for 10 years. I said, all right, I won't say nothing till you turn it over to me.
Amen.
And when you turn it over to me, it ain't in your hands what I do.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
How many of you understand what I said? I don't mean to be contrary to the shepherd, but I submit to every preacher, pastor that I minister to. But that particular time, when I called him up, there was 15 people come up that God had showed me. And every last one of them got the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord. Herring days were up.
Praise the Lord.
How many of us can dare to follow divine principle?
Amen.
And God, if folks don't even know what divine principle is now. Come on.
Amen.
I'm talking about people that's in the kingdom walk. They're really moving, wanting to move with God, but they just don't know what divine order is.
Amen.
They think divine order is their method of doing it.
Well,
I'm still teaching on the glory of God.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
But what I want you to understand is that we are not the Lord of glory.
Right.
Yeah.
He still knows how to deal with you. If you think God don't know how to tend to you, we forget sometimes. Talking to Brother Ern Baxter one time. I don't know, how many of you have heard Ern Baxter preach? If you're not in person in the tape. Ern Baxter was a preacher to the preachers. Prince of a preacher. Pastored up in Canada. Then he resigned and become William Branham's front man. see, I go back a long way to some of these guys that I personally know. But
and Boswell.
Huh?
And Brother Boswell.
Oh, yeah.
Traveled with him.
And so whenever he is in the camp meeting up there, and he's sleeping in one of the little cabins, and some young folk got the Holy Ghost. You know how zealous you are when you first receive the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
My God, they're hooping and hollering. And went over there, knocked on Brother Herman Baxter's door, got him up about 2 o'clock in the morning, 3. He said, Brother Herman, I got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let's go out and win the world. Brother Ernst said, I felt like earning you something. I said, all of a sudden, Holy Ghost brought back to him. That's the way you was, Ernst, when you got the Holy Ghost. So if the glory of God falls and you get noisy and run up and wake me up, I might not like it, but God will tell me, son, remember how you was when you were there. Sometimes we forget.
Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. But you see, when you begin, this is for Robert. The Spirit just brought this to me. And since you are right now beginning to enlarge and everything, God said you're going to see miracles in it. The axe is going to fall off the handle,
right?
But God's going to let you see the iron float, and it's going to cause such a miracles are only to attract folks to the Word of God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Now people laugh at me whenever I say things like this. It don't bother me one bit. You're going to see miracles in the enlargement and starting of this training center.
Hallelujah.
You and I. Somebody said, well, why ain't you seeing them? Honey, they just haven't arrived yet.
They're on the way.
They're on the way.
That's right.
Now, if the glory falls at the Church of the Now, where Greg is pastor, our set man, Abigail the pastor, I will receive just as much a benefit of it as he will.
Amen.
People don't understand that.
Right.
They have become so selfish.
Yeah, that's right.
That everything has to come through them.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, it's not of God.
That's right.
We've got to come into that like Jesus did.
Amen.
The Father and our one.
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there has to be that one and unity among the saints of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And you have to become in the unity. In Ephesians 4 and 3. Endeavor. What does that word endeavor mean?
Yes.
Go against what you believe.
Right.
Endeavoring to keep the unity.
Yes.
The Spirit in the bond of peace.
That's right.
It's the Spirit that's going to do the work. But you have to endeavor to keep it.
Right.
How many times have I sat back and heard individual ministry say most ridiculous things I've ever heard? And just keep my mouth shut, endeavoring, going against me. To keep the unity of the Spirit. I was in such pressure, under pressure yesterday. We've had such a flow of the Word and the deepness of the Word.
Amen.
In this meeting.
Amen.
And it's changing lives.
Yes.
And people have absolutely been changed and don't even realize it yet. But we have great ministry set in here. Brother Ron. And praise his name. Brother Blake. I mean, there's plenty of great ministries here. Brother James. And God knows I want to honor and recognize every ministry. But then the responsibility as being the set man, I've got to get a hold of God to keep the flow going. I don't care if there's three or four doctors of divinity here. It don't matter. I have got to get the mind of God. And I felt in my spirit. I went and talked to Brother Frank yesterday afternoon. And he said, well, it don't matter to me. And I knew it didn't. But I said, well, it matters to me. I have got to keep the unity of the flow that's going here. And then I said, you minister tonight. And when I did, all the weight lifted off of me. I knew immediately that. And I want to tell you something. I very seldom ever do that.
Come on.
Amen. You folks have been coming here. Amen. You know I very seldom ever do that.
Amen. That's true.
But it was of God.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Amen.
It was of God. Hallelujah. And I have been, I don't know, it's been, I've known Frank for years and years, but it's been a long time since I heard him preach with freedom like that.
Amen.
He said he's never preached with freedom like that.
Hmm?
He said himself he's never preached like he has here.
Yeah, it was right. He's been coming into it.
But you and I, neighbor, have got to go up against ourselves sometimes.
Amen.
How many of you are willing to turn against your own self? Praise God, to know that it's pleasing to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah. Woo! Now, if you begin to look, and God's been dealing with me to start over on some of these things that I taught years and years ago. They are more realer now than they was when I taught them.
That's right.
And I see the results of it in the Word now. You see, all of these apostles, and you don't hear this preach, they travel with a company of people.
That's right.
That's good.
And you don't hear nothing about Paul said this or Peter said that. But when Paul said that, all of that company had endeavored to keep that unity and flow with that.
Right.
Same way with Peter.
Amen.
Now that's the way the church is supposed to do,
that's
in
right.
divine order.
Right.
But nowadays, pastors are afraid to even leave their church.
That's right.
Afraid somebody will take over.
Right. That's right.
We've seen it.
I've saw it happen.
No, it'll happen. Right.
I remember passing in the door back in the 50s. And a good friend of mine and a great preacher came and run me a revival. And one of my elders had invited him to come down and have a meal with him. And invited me too because I said I just reclined to go. I don't let you have some fellowship with him by yourself. Sitting at the table The elder there, Brother Riley Smith, he's just a little old bitty fella. And this evangelist said, "You folks ought to get you another pastor. Brother McCurry's gone all the time."
That's the same thing.
And the elder said, "Who would you think that we would love to have?" Oh, he said, "I would like to come here. I could do something with this church.
Oh, come on.
I could really do something with this church."
Yes, he could.
The elder,
oh, man.
The little bitty fellow, just pushed his chair back, got up, and got the chair in both hands. Says, "You got 3 minutes to get out of this house. I'm going to knock you out."
Praise God. Amen.
Mine didn't do that.
Praise God for faithful elders.
Hallelujah.
We've had them to come here in this building.
Yes.
And they told me that, "Well, you know you're getting old."
Well,
hey.
I said, "In whose eyes?" But I'm trying to show you where folks are going to buck divine order.
Right.
I don't have to bring no preacher in here.
Right.
Amen. I've got five.
That's right. That's right.
In the local assembly.
Yeah,
amen.
That's right.
And I know who God's going to set in after me.
Amen.
Amen.
And the church is going on.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Because I'll be the set man in this church until God transfers me to the other side.
Amen.
There'll be no voting on it.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Well, glory.
Glory.
And now, if ministry could get into divine order,
yes,
it'd knock out a lot of this foolishness.
Amen.
That's going on, and people wanting to practice that. My God. You come into this church, you're not going to get all these preachers to come prophesy to you and all these people. I've trained them better.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you get a word, it's going to be from God.
Hallelujah.
And if you know anything about divine order, if you get a word and it don't suit you or it don't fit what God has spoke to you, then you have the right to appeal that word to a higher authority.
Amen.
Well, glory.
Amen.
I've sat in the office with an elder that give prophecy to an individual, and they objected it and appealed to the pastor. I brought the elder and the person into the office, and I sat down, and I heard the objections to it. I played the prophecy again. That's the importance of taping everything. And when we played that tape, the elder was scared to death. That's right, they were really frightened. But when I heard the prophecy and I saw the reaction of this sister, I said, "Sister, you've heard a word from God. What do you accept it or not?" And as far as I'm concerned, the case is closed. The elder was in the right. "Well, I'm not going to stay here." I said, "Sayonara." One monkey don't run the show.
Or two monkeys.
Oh, hallelujah. And then the one that's trying to run, he said, "Bless God, I'm going to leave." He called me a monkey. Divine order cuts through all your flesh.
That's right.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
And then there is a spirit that gets a hold of it. "Well, what's going to happen to me if I'm not promoted to be the head? Well, where do I fit in?" Hmm. Maybe you fit in the bottom of the step.
Right.
But it's the beginning.
Amen.
Good. You can't get to the second till you come up on the first. I want you to know we are living in a new hour, a new day. Hallelujah. The glory of God is just about to be poured out upon us. The stopper out of the prayer bottle is going to be poured upside down, and your prayers for generations are going to be opened and answered automatically. Glory to God. Before you can even realize it, you will be moving in a higher dimension. Woo! Do you remember the word the Lord gave me to tell you yesterday morning? Your crushing days are over.
Amen.
Praise God. I said your crushing days are over. You don't have to stay under the pressure all your life. God is going to pour the glory out upon you, and out of your belly He's going to run a golden rod, and out of that rod fill up the anointing vacancies that's in the church. Oh, praise God. And you can't get all out of an olive unless you beat it and press it. But God, just run the golden rod into the individual and filled up the light that's in the church and said this, these are my anointed ones.
Hallelujah.
Out of the anointed ones comes the light that's been lacking in the church.
Amen.
It's not in a song. Oh, glory to God. Song is good. Worship is great. But you've got to learn, hallelujah, that it's God that's in control.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We, my Father, we used to have singing conventions in the church. Bring in everybody, you know, let them sing. And all they're doing is entertaining you. Entertaining you. But Robert could be sitting there at the piano, and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord would move on him, and he could sing a prophecy or prophetic utterance that would transform your life.
Hallelujah.
Just like David playing on his harp. Prophecy went through on his harp.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
But I realize that I'm in a human body. And I have a tendency sometimes to act in the flesh.
Amen.
No.
Well, I was in a big convention in New Orleans. Thousands of folk were there, and they brought a little thin, cross-eyed individual in there with a gingham shirt and a pair of bib overalls, brogan shoes. And I said, my God, what in the world's going on? He come to the pulpit, and he didn't say but two or three words, and I was on my face. Such a holy aroma. It just put me on my face. And I meant good. I really wanted to bless the brother. And I told him at a church, I said, how about going to town with me? Oh, I'd be glad to go to town with you. Took him downtown, bought him a new suit, everything, brand new shoes, ties, everything. Dressed him up. He looked fantastic. He looked more like everybody else.
More like preacher.
Praise God.
That night, church was going on. He didn't come up. The preacher said, go down there and see what's wrong with that brother. I went down to to his room, knocked on the door, and no answer. I opened the door, and it darkened that room. And way over there in the corner, he sat over there crying, weeping. I'm talking about uncontrollable. I said, "Brother, what's the matter?" He said, "I can't wear these clothes." Well, I said, "Here, get there, put your gingham shirt on and your overalls and brogans and let me walk with you to the pulpit." I didn't mean to miss God.
Right.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
But my goodness.
Right.
Turned into being a great hindrance. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, how many of you understand what I'm saying? I mean, really, get down in your heart. I didn't ask him, did he want this?
You took it upon yourself.
I took it over on myself. But that was the wrong. And yet, God turned the wrong into goodness. Because in that weeping and him asking God to forgive him connected him to the glory spouse. And I have never been in a service like that service was that night. Thousands of people on their face weeping. And people crawling down the aisle, not walking, crawling, begging God to cleanse them. Hallelujah. Saints, we've got to somehow, some way, tune in to what God is desiring.
Amen.
Instead of what we want.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And unless we do that, we are missing God.
Amen. Amen.
We are missing God. Hallelujah. So these training centers starts, oh God, a long time before you was ever born.
Right.
God destined where you was going to be.
That's the truth.
Amen.
God said to Jeremiah, and he was, I think, one of the world's best in organizing the school of the prophets. Jeremiah. That's the reason I have a desire to go to Ireland. Jeremiah was buried over there in North Ireland. But what good is it going to do to stand there at his grave? May not do you no good.
Do me love you.
But he sure would bless me. Just to know I'm standing where the prophet of God was that was sanctified in his mother's womb. And that's where you are sanctified.
Yes, right. Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you.
That's where Paul was sanctified.
Amen.
He didn't recognize it until after the fact. And then he said, "God, who separated me from my mother's womb?"
Right. That's right.
Up until then, he was killing folk. Paul even said in Romans 4, said, "Why, Abraham staggered not." You know he did.
Yeah, he all know he did.
Huh?
Yeah, play the word of
it. You know he staggered.
He staggered.
The Bible said he didn't.
On the
I said, let me tell you something. When you get over on the resurrection side,
come on.
Amen.
That grace
doesn't
hovers you holy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And even Paul said, "I bear you witness that I wrong no man." My God, what are you talking about? Hey, stand up and tell me. You ain't wrong nobody. You've killed. What if the kin folks was there? Are the ones that he killed. How do you think they're going to react?
Stephen.
He held the coats of them that stoned Stephen. And he had the gall to say, I bear you record, I've wronged no man. Thank God for grace. And if you have just a little old weak understanding of grace, the unmerited favor. I get sick every time I hear that. It's the Zoe life of God. Hallelujah. And that Zoe life is, well, I have, will you allow me to tell you one experience?
Amen.
That that will fit right in with this. I was invited to preach a Baptist camp meeting for the Baptist people. And I felt that I wasn't ready and able to preach it without cramming some of this down their throat. So I went down to the camp share ground at that time and got in a room, didn't have no electricity, it's all turned off. I'm praying. And I was fasting and praying, and I was telling the Lord, Lord, manifest yourself to me and keep my mouth bridled with the Spirit.
Amen.
And I don't know how long I'd been there, but if you ever shut yourself off, time don't mean nothing. And the Lord said to me, son, I can't. Oh, that broke my heart. Oh, I began to weep violently. God said to me, I can't manifest myself. And then I said, Lord, I'll die right here on my face if you don't tell me the reason why you can't do that. I prayed, I don't know, for hours and hours and hours. And then all of a sudden the Lord said, son, you are imprisoning me in a prison of flesh. God, that didn't help me. That broke me even further. And I began to cry out and groan. And I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, I'm going to show you a demonstration. And all of a sudden, internal, my rib cage began to shake. Internally, I was shaking like I was having a chill. And God said, I'm showing you now what's holding me. I can't break through. Internally, I was holding the Lord prison. Just like some of you right now.
Yeah.
And you're doing that through your thinking, through the traditional doctrine. And then all of a sudden, I felt a rending, just a tearing me open. And I felt such a release, I can't tell you. But I was just ripped open. And on the internalism, there was the calmness, most gentle peace that I've ever experienced in my life. And the Spirit said, you're ready Now, I went up to that Baptist campground. I walked in the pulpit weeping puddles of tears. I stood there and I couldn't say anything without just being broke. And people began to jump up all over that huge tabernacle, run to the altar, and getting saved. The glory of God fell and they was getting baptized in the Holy Ghost by the hundreds. The greatest meeting that they'd ever saw in their life broke out. And I didn't even have to say a word. I didn't have to say a word. I just walk up into the pulpit, get a hold of the book stand, and look at those folks. And the glory of God would do the rest. I'm saying, God, do it again. And I'm hearing him say, I will, if you allow me to break you open. Now, how many of you is a candidate to be broke open, that your family can be glorious filled with the Spirit, that the church will be rise up in the glory of God with no contention whatsoever and no desire for one to be above the other in that unity? My God, have mercy. Now, how many of you are really opening for God to just split you in two? Amen. And open you up.
Amen.
Pardon?
Can I go to the
pen? Yeah.
Just wherever you tell me.
Huh?
Wherever you tell me to, I'd like to go just for
a minute. You will do it right now if you want to. Where are you going? But that's the rendering of the second veil.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Puritatama duhoka bahasakai.
Sikromoso ramakate lemesiki laboho songamase. There's a tearing of the veil taking place in you and I. Sitting at his feet, I see that there is a rending of the veil. The treasure is inside. He is washing, preparing his bride for days to come. The days are on us, O sons, when we will see His glory manifesting in our lives. These are the days of His equipping, and there has been a stripping, but now the crushing's over, it's time for us to shine. Like the sun at the noonday, the clouds will roll away. Hear the things Apostle has to say. Well, I saw a map of the United States, and all around were little flames. There were coals that have been so cold, hidden now. The wind's beginning to blow. Apostolic wind is blowing on the coals again. And that which has laid dormant will rise and burn again. Every coal, don't you know in your heart, This is the start from this apostle. The winds have blown, and all the seed that have been sown, they're beginning to grow. The flames as the wind does blow, the flames are getting hotter and higher. I saw the fire burn in one place, and then another. I saw it in the hand of so many sisters and brothers. And the fire, a little one here and a little one there, began to consume the map. I saw a fire in Asheville, fire in Orlando, fire in Arnoldsville and Athens. I saw a fire in Waco, fire here, fire there. They began to spread. Then the whole map burned with a fire that was so blue and yellow and red. I know that these are the days that we will see the wind rekindle the flame inside of you and me. Get ready. Se grande sono socro pote nemesi. Get ready. Get ready. See your dream. You know what I mean. Apostle, you will see. A thousand suns and more, you will see them rising up.